We're going to spend a little more time on the abomination of desolation. So we're departing from Luke again. The word abomination in, well, let's go to Luke 16. Luke 16, verse 15. You are they which justify yourselves among men, but God knoweth your heart. For that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination unto God. Abomination is the Greek word. It's a neat word. It's B-D-E-L-O-G-M-A. Bedelogma. It's a foul, detestable thing.
I just got a little wordplay. We talk about being the pig on the altar. But the pig is actually the Antichrist that you are offering to God as your sacrifice, as if that were acceptable to him, your refined religious self.
Amen. But listen to what it says. You are they which justify yourselves among men, but God knoweth your hearts. For that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. This is so incredible. If you can just hear nothing but this verse today. If you esteem what they esteem, then you're not an abomination, you're the abomination. Well, I can't help what I esteem. It's just who I am. What do you esteem? What do you hold valuable? Riches? Status? Good looks? Whatsoever is highly esteemed among men is abomination unto God. Everything is upside down. But the question is, what do you esteem? Anybody? Anybody feel like confessions?
I esteem all those things. I second that. Good work, completed projects, good looks, pretty cars. Paid for a job you do. I esteem
it. So what's your response to the scripture?
Repentance and not letting that be your source of life. Seeing that it's opposed to him, and I mean really seeing it, not just seeing it because...
No, you can't. You have to see it. You have to know it, see it.
Right.
You have to epignosis. It has to be mixed with you.
You really have to see that it separates you from God, and that to me, like I said earlier, that's putting your anti-pig on the altar and thinking that God likes the same things you like.
Another one, and even people, this is the worst one, people seeing things your way.
All right.
It's like that. If your eye offend thee, you know.
Cut it out.
It's like the there's
Pluck
no wiggle room for any of this.
Got me like this. I'm thinking I'm in control of things and wanting to be in control.
Well, I mean, these issues are, I mean, this is why I get a kick out of people at saying Jesus was a great teacher. Great family values. I mean, these are all lies. He was the antithesis of a teacher from anything that man desires and admires. He challenged every belief system that you could have, every value system. He said is worthless. Every political system, every financial system, everything is worthless, empty, void, meaningless. But more than that, abomination. He said, "Think not that I come to send peace on earth, for I come to send not peace, but a sword." But everybody sings at Christmas, "Peace on earth, goodwill toward man," blah, 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 blah. We are so screwed up, we can't even begin to understand what we appear to God as. Let's look and see what we appear to God. This is going to be a reading. This was supposed to be a reading Sunday night, and I didn't do it. Go to Isaiah 1.
Wounds and bruises.
What?
I said wounds and bruises chapter.
Verse 2. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord hath spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib. But Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider. A sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers. Children that are corruptors, that have forsaken the Lord, they have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backward. Why should you be stricken any more? You will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick, the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. I remember very early in my walk as a believer, I think it may have even been J.W. He gave a talk, a speech, or a sermon and challenged everybody to pray that God, that they would see themselves as God sees them. And I didn't even know this was in the Bible. But I prayed that prayer. It scared the crap out of me.
Yeah, because at that time God knew you were sin, saw you. Yet the world had a different perception. Not perception, but the world.
No, the world thought I was crazy then because I'd walked away from everything. But the point of it is, it's all Him. He is our only life. He is our only self. But we must live it. 24 hours a day. All right, let's look at some more abominations. Let's go to Revelation 17. Verse 1. And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying unto me, Come here, and I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of the names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her head was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. But everything that she has that's called the abominations of the earth is everything that man admires, that you admire.
And it's like it's in a golden cup.
Right.
So it's esteemed.
And that golden cup, it's the third decan of Leo, the last that we're studying now. And it's sitting on Hydra, the golden cup is. And that the Hydra is it's interesting. It's Hydra, Draco is the serpent circled around the North Pole. But Hydra goes from all the way from Cancer all the way to Virgo. It's a third over 100, it's 120 some degrees of the circle. And it's Hydra is the female name for the snake, Hydra. I think it's another picture of this great whore. But sitting on the snake is this golden cup. Everything that the world admires, God says, abominations. If this doesn't give you pause to reconsider your value systems, I don't know what will. Let's go to Revelation 21. He's seeing the New Jerusalem. And in verse 22 it says, And I saw no temple there, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it. Now, they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it, but everything that the nations think is the glory and the honor isn't coming in. You understand what that means? They shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it, into the New Jerusalem. But nothing about what man esteems can enter into it. There's nothing about that is honorable among men or glory among men that can enter in. This all has to do with the church trying to make herself acceptable to the one who has the right of first redemption, the God of this world. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And yet, the church esteems everything that man esteems. And that's sad. No, but that's not my concern this morning. My concern is, do you esteem the things that man esteems? Because if you do, the abomination of desolation is sitting on the throne of your life.
Yeah, it's with a ton of bricks.
Okay, let's look at the word. So we've looked at abominations. Let's look at desolation. Again, so we can make sure we all know where we're coming from. Go to Matthew 14. Now I lost it. Matthew 24. I'm sorry, I didn't mean it. Work. Verse 15. When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by the prophet, by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whoso readeth, let him understand. Remember, the word stand there means to be set. Hestemi. Doesn't mean stand up, it means to be anchored. So you have no other life, no other place, no other self than that which is sitting on the mercy seat. That the fear of God is so entered into your life that the idea, even the concept of esteeming something the world esteems becomes abhorrent. But now we're going to look at the word desolation. Desolation is a Greek word, eramosis, eramoses. And it means devastation. It means forlornness, loneliness, solitary misery. Isn't that the fruit of self-seeking? Forlornness, solitary misery.
I find it many times at the moment. At the moment, no. But after you have time to reflect and you see the fruits of your self-realization, it does create great desolation.
Amen. Desolation.
Self-deception.
All right, let's go to Luke 20:21. Verse 16, and you shall be betrayed both by parents and brethren and kinfolk and friends.
Matthew.
Luke 21, verse 16. Okay. And you shall be betrayed both by parents and brethren and kinfolk and friends, and some of you shall they cause to be put to death. You shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but there shall not a hair of your head perish. In your patience possess ye your souls. And when you shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, or surrounded with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. This is all the stuff that happened just before AD 70, when the temple was totally destroyed. And so these were the warnings that Christ had given to his people, and the Christians fled Jerusalem before this happened. And they became, again, as I think we talked about, most of them went to Antioch. But the desolation is the word that's applied to the destruction of the temple. Not one stone left standing upon another.
So it's like the abomination, not only internally from its own self, causes the desolation, but it also attracts God's judgment, which causes desolation. So you're getting it from every angle.
Right. There's no place to hide. There's no wiggle room. There's no gray. There's no almost. There's no I'm getting better. So anyway, though, that's the end of the abominations of desolation. Anybody have any thoughts? We'll get back to Luke. If God delays his coming.
That's the golden cup thing was wild. That just abominations kept in a golden cup. It's like,
but it's held by everything attractive.
Anyone else? Ronnie, do you understand?
I think I do.
So what's different now? Can you maybe see that your little ideas about the way things should be are kind of stupid? Little ideas that you think you're in control are ridiculous.
Like, I think it should be a little cooler, but maybe not.
Remember, this is...
maybe it's just fine.
Remember, I want you to imagine, every summer, the period between the Fast of Tammuz and the Fast of Ab, the hottest part of the summer in Israel, that's when they fasted, that's when they... You remember during those 21 days, there's all kinds of things they didn't do. They didn't shave. They didn't bathe. Or they didn't. I mean, there was a whole lot of things you didn't do during those 21 days. But its purpose was to cause you to be irritable, so that in that irritation, you would see there would be confession and forgiveness. And it would knit the brethren together in love. But it took the fasting and the heat and all the other aspects of it to irritate you enough to really prophesy, to say what's there. Right. It's not only in vino esperatus or veritas, it's in 110 degrees.
Yeah, it's like suffering, ungodly.
No, it's godly hot.
Yeah, I'm thinking, I can only imagine this period if we decided to turn off our air conditioning.
We did that one year.
I should have.
Really, really reveals. I know.
All right. Anybody else? Everybody understand perfectly?
Perfect.
Mr. Bojo? What are your thoughts?
It just seems to me that if you esteem the things of men, you've endured a lack of integrity again.
Amen. You're still living double-minded.
You know what you know.
But you don't want to know it, so you live two lives.
I cannot, and I'm not interested in correcting myself. Repentance is everything, but what happens after that is none of my business.
As long as you stay in repentance.
You repent all the time, and God is God, and He does what He sees fit. It's none of my business.
Your business is total and complete emptiness. Repentance.
Did I say that?
No.
That's why you said it's none of your business.
That's why he surrounded you with people like us.
Well, like to
point out your
friends. It is your business. That the repentance remains total, that you've totally divorced yourself from your mind and your emotions.
I thought that's what I said.
Well, but you said it's none of your business.
Well, that's my point, is that it's God who calls, God who justifies, God who does what He sees needs to be done. Where do I fit in?
Repentance. Emptiness.
I've already said that.
Well, I understand. But the way in which you said it, it seemed like you're going to do it, and then you're going to just live again. Okay.
Yeah, it repents from all these things.
And it's a constant, constant.
Everything we're
constant.
Doing here continues to reveal what needs to be repented of. And that's, I rejoice in that.
And if, yeah, and I do too.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is, if there is something you can't repent of, then be honest enough to talk about it.
I agree. My wife is calling.
That's your ring?
All right, take it, big guy, before I break a cell phone.